ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We're going to discuss today text 26 and 27 from chapter 4, canto 3, and there's another section that I've already spoken on, and then the very last verse of this chapter, text 36, is connected to these two, 26 and 27. So we ended with 25. Vidura is making a request of Uddhava to describe the self-knowledge which you have been enlightened by the Lord Himself. You call it several different Sanskrit phrases that are used to describe knowledge, transcendental knowledge, atma-tattva, jnanam param, svatma-raha, giving the best of all gifts, spiritual awakening. So here's what Uddhava says in response. Sri Uddhava said, "You may take lessons from the great learned sage Maitreya, who is nearby and who is worshipable for reception of transcendental knowledge, Tattva Samradhya." Tattva Samradhya, one who is worshipable for reception of transcendental knowledge. "He was directly instructed by the personality of Godhead, while he," Krishna, "was about to quit this mortal world." So he was, and it, as I heard, he also heard. Same thing. Purport. Cultural point is message of this purport. "Although one may be well versed in transcendental science, one should be careful about the offense of maryada vyatikrama, or impertinently surpassing a greater personality. According to scriptural injunction, one should be very careful of transgressing the law of maryada vyatikrama, because by so doing one loses his duration of life, his opulence, his fame and piety, and the blessings of all the world. To be well versed in the transcendental science necessitates awareness of the techniques of spiritual science." Uddhava, being well aware of all these technicalities of transcendental science, advised Vidura to approach Maitreya Rishi to receive transcendental knowledge. Vidura wanted to accept Uddhava as his spiritual master, but Uddhava did not accept the post because Vidura was as old as Uddhava's father, and therefore Uddhava could not accept him as a disciple, especially when Maitreya was present nearby. The rule is that in the presence of a higher personality, one should not be very eager to impart instructions, even if one is competent and well-versed. So Uddhava decided to send an elderly person like Vidura to Maitreya, another elderly person. But he was well versed also because he was directly instructed by the Lord while he was about to quit this mortal world. Since both Uddhava and Maitreya were directly instructed by the Lord, both had the authority to become the spiritual master of Vidura or anyone else, but Maitreya, being elderly, had first claim to becoming the spiritual master, especially for Vidura, who was much older than Uddhava. One should not be eager to become a spiritual master, chiefly for the sake of profit and fame, but should become a spiritual master only for the service of the Lord. The Lord never tolerates the impertinence of Maryada Vyatikrama. One should never pass over the honor due to an elderly spiritual master in the interests of one's personal gain and fame. Impertinence on the part of the pseudo-spiritual master is very risky to progressive spiritual realization. There were other reasons that were mentioned previously. Uddhava had already said, basically, gotta go now. And his reason for doing so was he had received an instruction from Krishna to do so. And as we heard, the instruction from Krishna is not different than Krishna. And he was missing Krishna's association too much, and in fact Krishna gave the instruction so he could maintain his life, and he wanted to do that. He wanted to fulfill Krishna's instruction. So this other is now being mentioned, and it's not just a disposable, polite social nuance. It's an important spiritual principle. So sometimes there's a conflict between something you should do and something you should do, or something you should do and something that you shouldn't do. And you know, it seems that one's going to cancel out the other, like this. Stay and speak to Vidura, or go and fulfill Krishna's instruction. Fortunately, in this case, the other principle that's mentioned specifically, not transgressing the respect that's due to another, that complemented Uddhava's desire to go to Bhadrikashram, follow Krishna's instructions, go there. Because one can also say, it's as Krishna spoke in Bhagavad Gita, teaching this message, that's also one of Krishna's instructions. But that instruction has another counter-instruction. And Uddhava was cultured. And we read this, that the part of the culture is this point. And culture is not, it's not just a disposable, take it or leave it kind of an item. Cultural items are strong, if not compelling. So the cultural item is Vidura wanted to hear about Krishna. Of course, Uddhava had already spoken about Krishna. He's spoken two chapters about Krishna at length, with great enthusiasm and great enlivenment, and very wonderfully spoke about Krishna. But now he's, okay, I've got to go now, and before you go, can you speak everything that Krishna spoke before he left? Well, can't do that, I've got to go. And I shouldn't do that because Maitreya is nearby. So a detail, two details. One is, Uddhava has already said that very place where Krishna spoke to me, he left, or at least Sukadeva Goswami says that he left that place and he was wandering. Anyway, one of these verses describes that, and that's where Vidura found him. It wasn't exactly the same place. And then the way the chapter concludes, I'm going to jump ahead now to text 36 at the end of this chapter 4. Understanding that he was remembered by Lord Krishna while quitting this world. Excuse me. Text 36. After passing a few days on the bank of the river Jamuna, Vidura, the self-realized soul, reached the bank of the Ganges, where the great sage Maitreya was situated. So Uddhava was by the bank of the Jamuna. Maitreya was by the bank of the Ganges. So who knows their geography well enough to know how far is the Ganges from the Jamuna? The Jamuna passes through Vrindavan. How far away is it?
Aren't they the same?
Huh?
Vrindavan, Jamuna, and Ganga are the same?
Just same river, one with two different names. That's what you're saying?
Maybe different portions of it. But today they're the same.
Okay. Maybe then they weren't. Because it's not the same. It's in a different place. Some distance, okay, whatever the distance away. He's saying Maitreya is nearby. And the last verse says, after passing a few days in the bank of the river Jamuna, Vidura, the self-realized soul, reached the bank of the river Ganges. So at least it appears two different places. So Krishna spoke, Vidura, the Uddhava and Maitreya heard. Krishna left, Maitreya went someplace by the Ganges, Uddhava went someplace by the river Jamuna, somewhere also in Vrindavan. Uddhava came, Uddhava spoke with Uddhava spoke with Vidura. And then Uddhava leaves. And then Vidura goes to find Maitreya. So in the presence of... We observe this etiquette in simple ways. For example, when chanting the Sanskrit verses in the morning. We have the senior, elder, experienced devotee chant the mantra first, or when passing the ghee lamp, something like that. We follow that same kind of simple etiquette. When in our temples, when there's somebody who's a senior devotee, even if someone else has been scheduled, someone that's a senior devotee, he gives the morning class. It's just deference is given in that way. And Buddha was giving deference to Maitreya. We went through this about the way of how did Prabhupada say it? Cultured people. What was the phrase? The way of courteous dealings between two devotees. This is Vidura respecting Uddhava as superior to him, although by age, at least, Vidura was superior to Uddhava. But Vidura is not standing on that formality of I'm older than you, so he's respecting, like the sages that heard from Shukadeva Goswami, or the demigods that heard from, that encouraged Prahlad Maharaj to speak. There are different kinds of seniority, and amongst all of them, advancement in Krishna consciousness is the final one. Prahlad Maharaj being a primary example, Shukadeva Goswami another primary one. Uddhava here is another primary one, elder to, spiritually superior to Vidura. Now both of them had love for Krishna and both of them had respect for one another, so that wasn't I'm higher, you're lower. No, I'm higher, you're lower. That's the way of material existence. And spiritual existence is you're higher. But there, one has to be careful that the point of this purport, quite a long purport discussing this, respect is to be shown to someone who is qualified. Here the qualification is age, and by age they both heard from Krishna. Maitreya is elder. There's a third factor actually, and that Krishna said to Maitreya before he left, Vidura is going to come very soon. In fact, I'm going to read those verses where Krishna says, or where it's described how Vidura felt when he heard that Krishna thought of me. Here he is in the middle of a forest. He's about to leave, and he's thinking of me. Yes, before he leaves, how fortunate I am. Then he's also feeling how unfortunate I am. Krishna's left. These conflicting emotions happen in spiritual life. But he was feeling very fortunate, very blessed that Krishna thought of him. So that's a third reason. But at least the one that's being emphasized here out of those three reasons, not stepping over. Vyatikrama. Maryada vyatikrama. Impertinence. There's a nice example in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Lord Chaitanya also spoke very strongly about this impertinence. The impertinence of Jagatananda Pandit. When Sanatana Goswami had traveled the same path that Lord Chaitanya traveled, passing through Jharikhand forest, he did a lot of research. He was very scholarly, and he found out that even through the jungles, he went from the tribal people's villages in the forest to the next one, and he followed the same path. In the course of following that path, he drank water from a place he shouldn't have taken water, and he contracted an illness, and the illness was weeping sores broke out on his skin, and this oozing pus that smelled bad was coming out of his body. And as that happened and he was going further to Puri, he was thinking, this is terrible. I'm going to go to Vrindavan, I'm going to go to Puri, and Lord Chaitanya, when he sees me, I know he's going to want to embrace me. And when he embraces me, all this yucky stuff's going to smear all over his body. What's the use of his body? Better I get rid of his body. And then he started thinking of ways to get rid of his body. And one of the ways he thought of was waiting till the Rath Yatra and then throwing his body under the wheels of the Rath Yatra cart, getting crushed by the wheels of Jagannath's cart and going back to Godhead, thinking of Jagannath. Well, he didn't disclose it to anyone, just thought about it. And one day Lord Chaitanya said, you nonsense. if it was so easy to go back to God, to throw yourself under the wheels of Jagannath's cart, we'd all do it. But you can't go back to Godhead by that method. That's not how you go back to Godhead. So give up this idea. And Sanatana Goswami realized he was omniscient. He knows what my thoughts are, because he's also the Lord in the heart, as well as worshipable Lord before him. Anyway, so many things, he had different ideas. One of them then was, I'll stay for Rath Yatra, and then right after Rath Yatra, I'll go back to Vrindavan. So he consulted Jagatananda Pandit, who was by years junior to him. And Jagatananda Pandit said, that's a great idea. The Lord gave you Vrindavan as your place of residence, and you've come to see him, you've seen him. Rath Yatra will be over, you've seen Lord Jagannath at Rath Yatra. Go back. Lord Chaitanya got word. They chastised Jagatananda, this impertinent boy, advising one who is worshipable by him what he should do and not do. Jagatananda Pandit is a nonsense. As this verse is, or purport is saying, that the Lord does not tolerate this kind of activity. He mentions in the purport, in part for his audience's sake, Vidura, he says, Vidura wanted to accept Uddhava as a spiritual master. Now, all that really says is that Vidura asked Uddhava, you heard directly from Krishna? Could you explain what you heard directly from Krishna? So, one who repeats the instructions in disciplic succession, that's a category of spiritual master. There are different categories of different types of spiritual master, but it's a category. So, he didn't want to do that. Uddhava wanted, so he sent him to Maitreya. Maitreya, being elderly, had the first claim to becoming the spiritual master, especially for Vidura, who was much older than Uddhava. So that the section ends with the next verse. Shukadeva Goswami said, O King, after thus discussing with Vidura the transcendental name, fame, qualities, etc., on the bank of the Jamuna, Uddhava was overwhelmed with great affliction. He passed the night as if it were a moment, and thereafter he went away. And a very nice short purport, Prabhupada writes, the word used here for Krishna is Vishva Murti. What does Vishva mean? Universe. Vishva Murti. Both Uddhava and Vidura were great in affliction because of Lord Krishna's departure, and the more they discussed the transcendental name, fame, and qualities of the Lord, the more the picture of the Lord became visible to them everywhere. Such visualization of the transcendental form of the Lord is neither false nor imaginary, but is factual, absolute truth. When the Lord is perceived as Vishva Murti, it is not that he loses his personality or transcendental eternal form, but he becomes visible in the same form everywhere. The universal person is the word for word. Universal person. I've heard Rabindra Swarup Prabhu discuss this many times in lectures that he's given. Rabindra Swarup Prabhu was a PhD in philosophy at Temple University, I think, in Philadelphia. And so as a philosophy major, he heard Prabhupada say in a lecture, a devotee doesn't just see a tree, he sees Krishna. So being a philosophy major, he was pondering, what does that mean? Does it mean he sees this is Krishna's energy, and therefore he sees Krishna in the form of Krishna's energy, the tree? Does it mean that he sees the super soul, and therefore he sees Krishna? Does it mean that he sees the two-handed form of Krishna playing on a flute, and everywhere you look, you know, there's a two-handed form of Krishna? You don't see the objects, you see the two-handed form of Krishna. What does it mean? And he gives a long philosophical, whole long class on just that topic. But it can be any of those. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santaksa daiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. Depending upon one's consciousness, one is going to see there's something. There's a verse in Kapila Dev's instructions to Devahuti that says exactly that. It gives the example of milk. The eyes see the milk as white. The tongue experiences the milk as sweet. The hand experiences the milk as liquid, and so on. It goes, so as the senses experience the same object in a different way, so similarly the personality of Godhead, according to the consciousness of the individual, experiences the absolute truth in a different way. It's part of a long, like 10 verses in a row that build up to that. So Vishvamurti, they both, Vidura and Uddhava, have great attachment for Krishna, and speaking about Krishna, their love for Krishna, their concentrated thought of Krishna increased and increased and increased. And so at least seeing in relation to Krishna, not by imagination or illusion, but factually, seeing in relation to Krishna. And if you see in relation to Krishna, everything in relation to Krishna, there's only one thing to do, and that's serve. There's no other thing. It kind of works both ways. By the process of Shravanam Kirtanam, an intense absorption of the mind in the Shravanam Kirtanam topics, the mind becomes absorbed in Krishna. And the mind is actually the leader of the senses. The mind becomes absorbed in Krishna. Then you go to Krishna. You're with Krishna. But the activity of hearing and chanting in relation to Krishna is that there's some good fortune. There's also some exercise of intelligence. Just like the verse in the Bhagavatam that says, Kaler Doshanad Hei Rajan Yasti Ekam Mahan Gunan Kirtanadiva Krishna Mukta Sangam Param Vrajet. That's not the verse either. Anyway, those who are endowed with sufficient intelligence in this age of Kali, they engage in the Sankirtan movement, the Sankirtan activity. So there's intelligence that's behind the hearing and chanting activity. Otherwise, we do something else. But that hearing and chanting activity brings the mind to Krishna. When the mind goes to Krishna, then that's the lingering tendency of the senses to continue to indulge in sense gratification is overcome by the mind being drawn to Krishna. Kapila Dev describes that in the process of devotional service and goodness, one takes one's mind and senses to the activities of devotional service with the conviction that this will purify me. And in the purified state, one doesn't have to make an effort. That which we now have to make an effort in the pure state is effortless. The mind just goes to Krishna. You think of something to think of Krishna, and the mind goes to Krishna. It just happens in a very, you can say, uncontrolled fashion, or a spontaneous fashion, or a natural fashion. We're not there, so we engage in regulative devotional activity of hearing and chanting. But that these Uddhava and Vidura are very, very advanced and very attached to Krishna, so that activity together of hearing and discussing about Krishna, they were seeing Krishna visible in the same form everywhere. So what I'd like to do is just read the verses, especially for your benefit, because I'm not going to discuss these tomorrow. Just hear the flow, what happens after Uddhava suggests that Vidura go here from Maitreya. Maharaj Parikshit then speaks. And it says, at the end of the pastimes of the Lord of the three worlds, Sri Krishna, and after the disappearance of the members of Vrishni and Bhoja dynasties, who were the best of the great commanders, why did Uddhava alone remain? That's it. So Shukadeva Goswami replies, my dear king, the cursing of the brahmanas was only a plea. This cursing of the brahmanas refers to Samba and the younger members of the Yadu dynasty being cursed by the brahmanas. This lump of iron will destroy the Yadu dynasty. The cursing of the brahmanas was only a plea, but the actual fact was the supreme desire of the Lord. He wanted to disappear from the face of the earth after dispatching his excessively numerous family members. He thought to himself as follows. How do you like that? You're getting inside the mind of Krishna, and here's how Krishna thought. Now I shall leave the vision of this mundane world, and I see that Uddhava, the foremost of my devotees, is the only one who can be directly entrusted with knowledge about me. Uddhava is not inferior to me in any way, because he is never affected by the modes of material nature. Therefore, he may remain in this world in order to disseminate specific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. Shukadeva Goswami informed the king that Uddhava, being thus instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of all Vedic knowledge and the spiritual master of the three worlds, reached the pilgrimage site of Bhadrikashram and engaged himself there in trance to satisfy the Lord. Vidura also heard from Uddhava about the appearance and disappearance of Lord Krishna, the Supersoul, in the mortal world, which is a subject matter sought after with great perseverance by the great sages. The Lord's glorious acts and his acceptance of various transcendental forms for the performance of extraordinary pastimes in the material world are very wonderful for anyone other than his devotees to understand, very difficult for anyone other than his devotees to understand. And for the beasts, they are simply mental disturbance. Understanding that he was remembered by Lord Krishna while quitting this world, Vidura began to cry, loudly, overwhelmed by the ecstasy of love. I'll read that purport. Vidura was overwhelmed by the ecstasy of love when he understood that Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, had thought of him at the last moment. Although he thought of himself as insignificant, he was remembered by the Lord by his causeless mercy. Vidura accepted this as a great favor, and thus he cried. This crying is the last word in the progressive path of devotional service. One who can cry for the Lord in love is certainly successful in the line of devotional service. Then the end of the chapter. After passing a few days on the bank of the river Jamuna, Vidura, the self-realized soul, reached the bank of the Ganges, where the great sage Maitreya was situated. In Ram's pastimes, he did a somewhat similar thing by taking everybody back to Ayodhya, but leaving Hanuman to recite the glories of Ram. And at least in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there's that nice discussion with Narada, where Hanuman declines all of the appreciation of his good fortune, saying, how can you say fortunate? Ram left me alone. He took everybody back with him except me and told me to stay here. So it's nice I have some service, but I don't have the association of Ram, and so I just chant his glories all day long, hoping that one day he'll call me to him. But I won't go unless he calls me. So like that, this feeling separation, but that feeling of separation it's a transcendental separation. It's not abandonment. Well, I don't care for you, I'm rejecting you. It's a special honor. Hanuman's qualified and Uddhava's qualified to speak about their lords, but it's also a love and separation, and that's very special in transcendental life. Meeting is also very special. Very nice. But I mentioned this because I was just I summarized on the Sunday program, I summarized the verse from the second chapter here at the Sunday program, where Uddhava is recalling Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan and his pastimes out of Vrindavan, and then he speaks about what happened after Kamsa was killed. He approached Vasudeva and Devaki, and in the mood of love, in part knowing the love of Vasudeva and Devaki, that they wanted to have the personality of Godhead as their son, and so he appeared as their son because they were purified and qualified for that. But then he left, and they were bereft of that association, and so now he's back, almost 11 years old, and he's standing before Vasudeva and Devaki, and they're overwhelmed. Not only they're overwhelmed with love, but they're overwhelmed with the majesty, because Krishna has just killed Kamsa. They weren't there, they were in the prison house, but they heard, they've understood. This invincible villain has just been single-handedly killed by Krishna. Now he's standing before us. He's not our son, he's God. But Krishna wanted their affection, just as they wanted to give affection to Krishna. Krishna wanted their affection. Rasa is two ways. It's an exchange of love. Krishna wanted parental affection from Vasudeva and Devaki, and so with his own internal potency, he covered them. So they just forgot. that he's the personality of Godhead. And Vasudev embraced Krishna, and Balaram climbed on Jasoda's lap, or Devaki's lap, like that. Just transcendental affection. So, as Prabhupada is writing here, who can understand these things that's not a devotee? And the answer is, they can't. If they say something else, it's mythology. Even Mahatma Gandhi spoke like that. You aware? He said, he wrote it one time. I was long, long ago visiting, doing home program somewhere, I don't remember where it was, and I went to bed, got up early, chanted japa, and everyone was still asleep, so I went to their library and saw there's Mahatma Gandhi's commentary on Bhagavad Gita. Took it off the shelf, opened it up at random, just started reading, and he says, there was no battlefield of Kurukshetra. There was no Krishna inducing Arjuna to fight. And if there was such a thing, I'd give up my Hinduism. And then he goes on to say what really happened. I closed the book, put it back on the shelf. Good thing he didn't go around and teach Bhagavad Gita, as Prabhupada asked him to. There's a whole section of quotes from different things that he wrote, or explicitly he was an impersonalist, a Gujarati impersonalist, Mahatma. Anyway, such persons can't enter into the mystery of Krishna's understanding. And he says that in the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Those who are faithless, they're caught forever in the cycle of birth and death. Even they may approach the text or see the deity or meet Krishna. The washerman of Kamsa met Krishna, but he was too possessed with his own importance. I'm the washerman of Kamsa. Anyway, it's misfortune. And going back to Uddhava's lamentation, his sorrow is that people think of Krishna in an ordinary way. They don't have the access to enter into this wonderful understanding, wonderful experience of the goal of life. They're condemned by their own pride and arrogance. And so unfortunate. And those that, back to the end of this chapter, Uddhava is very fortunate, but he's feeling very unfortunate at the same time. He's fortunate in that Krishna is giving him this confidential service. Krishna trusts him to take the message and transmit it purely. Not that Krishna doesn't trust the members of the Yadu dynasty, but there's another place, it's expressed later in the 10th canto, where Krishna understood the future generations from the Yadu dynasty would be very powerful, practically invincible. Kali Yuga has begun. They would become corrupt, and no one could stop them. So he took him back before any of that could happen. But he left Uddhava to speak his glories. So someday you'll read those nice chapters in detail. They're very, very nice. And certainly the purports are very, very nice. Okay, any discussion? Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.